It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. More than 1,000 hospital leaders are in Washington, D.C. for meetings on Capitol Hill this week over proposed cuts to Medicaid, one of the biggest safety net programs that provides health care coverage to 1 in 5 Americans.
And today, healthcare advocates are holding a 24-hour vigil at the U.S. Capitol to protest the Trump administration's proposal.
Proposed health care cuts could affect Wisconsin hospitals and clinics that rely on federal funding to serve vulnerable people.
Stephen Smith is the CEO of Community Health Systems, Inc. It's a federally qualified health center with locations in Beloit and Darlington. Stephen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Start out by explaining what it means for you to be a federally qualified health center.
So a federally qualified health center means that we are there to provide medical, dental, behavioral health care to those on Medicaid and those that are uninsured. We can also serve those on Medicare and commercial insurance. And we'll see anybody regardless of ability to pay.
What is your relationship like with Medicaid and other federal healthcare funding?
So we rely very heavily on Medicaid funding. That is the primary population that we're serving. It's about 60% of our population. And we do have grant eligibility through the federal government as well, too. And we also obviously work with the managed Medicaid companies in Wisconsin, too. It's primarily, again, who we are driven to serve.
60% of your patients on Medicaid. What is the need like at your clinics? Do you have waiting lists or can people get right in?
We try not to run a waiting list where we can. So we do offer same day appointments if there is something more urgent, regardless of what the service demand may be. But the demand is always going to outpace the supply. So our dental, we have 6 dentists and they are booked up months out. Medical as well. We have 3 medical providers and booked out several months, similarly with behavioral health. So it is not going away.
If these proposed cuts to Medicaid happen, what happens to your clinics? What happens to community health systems?
So it, you know, a lot of it right now, it depends on what type of cuts they make.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, the likely result is cutting back in services. We can't afford to sustain off of no funding. And so as more people are likely to lose their coverage, or if there is cutbacks in the amounts that are given for Medicaid, it is just something we have to look at from a sustainability standpoint to make sure we can continue to provide coverage longer term. But likely it means, unfortunately, longer waits. And with health centers really being driven towards helping individuals manage long-term chronic illnesses, that means they may not be able to get into services in a timely manner, and likely problems are going to escalate, and you're going to see emergency rooms start to get flooded again for folks because they're not able to access that routine ongoing primary care.
You say flooded again. Have you seen circumstances like this before?
I think a lot of it goes back to the origin of the health center movement, which was, we know that not everybody can afford their deductibles, not everybody can afford insurance, and not every employer provides it. And so prior to really the implementation of a lot of health centers, you saw a lot of folks putting off those routine cares. And if you put off your diabetes treatment, it's not going to go away. Your symptoms are going to get worse. And that's really what tends to lead to the emergency room starting to get flooded, too.
When you look around, are there organizations or services that you could pick up the slack, if you will, if these cuts come through? Do you see any partners in this?
I do, and I will say one of the things I love about the area that I work in is there's such a spirit of collaboration. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, but no matter what, it's going to start to flood the system because we're not swimming in extra care right now, regardless. And so any cuts or things like work requirements that are going to increase administrative burden are just going to start to overwhelm the system. So we really try to collaborate with our health system partners to try to make sure that there is timely access to care, but it's making sure that you do so in a way that's sustainable too.
I want to make sure I understand this. Are federally funded healthcare centers like yours the last safety net for a lot of the populations you treat beyond the emergency room?
There are also some free and charitable clinics throughout Wisconsin as well that do primary care. So that would be another alternative for individuals is, to get services. But primarily, yes, we tend to be the statewide and nationally one of the biggest providers for folks who are either on Medicaid or who are unfunded who need that ongoing primary care.
Stephen, in terms of the patients you see, what is the impact with prescription drugs? And because they can be very costly for patients, and there are
Absolutely.
the pharmaceutical assistance programs, but that paperwork is sometimes very lengthy. What are you experiencing at your clinics with access to medicine?
So that is one of the, I think, really awesome things about federally qualified health centers is we employ staff who will walk patients through how to apply for drug assistance programs. We're also a participant in the 340B program, which does provide assistance for individuals because we want them to get on their medication. It does us very little good to prescribe something if nobody can afford it. So we have a whole team of folks, and we have the 340B program, which really helps drive down the costs and the out-of-pocket expenses for individuals when they need what could otherwise be very, very costly medications.
We are discussing proposed cuts to Medicaid funding, and Stephen Smith is CEO of Community Health Systems, Inc., which operates three clinics. It was founded in Beloit over 25 years ago. Stephen, what are some of the ripple effects for the communities you serve, Beloit, Darlington, if access to health care becomes less available or less reliable or too costly?
I think, again, it tends to go back to individuals and they put off their care. If you can't afford it, you tend to wait until whatever the issue is. Sometimes you're waiting too long and you end up in the emergency room. Again, with health centers being kind of integrated with medical, dental, behavioral health, we have that ability now to be able to see a dental patient and maybe there's an anxiety issue or a depression issue. We can connect them immediately with a therapist. And similarly, if there's a medical issue or some other presenting problem, and we can make sure they get that care right then and there. And so as services are scaled back, it's that whole access piece. And the other piece, is like looking at work requirements, which sound good on their face, but there's a huge administrative burden to that for our patients. Work requirements tend to be very costly to implement, costly to manage, the burden tends to fall to the patient to try to justify that they need their Medicaid and that they are actively looking for work. So either way, it just takes what is a good thing, which is that ongoing preventative-based care, and makes it more reactive. And so you're going to end up with people going to emergency rooms or just needing more costly surgeries and procedures. So it's on its face, it sounds good to cut some of the expenses, but there's that downstream effect of other un agencies that are going to start to absorb these burdens when the routine primary care starts to go away.
I wonder, have you been in contact with any of Wisconsin's congressional leaders, and what is your message to leaders on Capitol Hill in this moment?
Yes, and actually, our representatives, Representative Stile and Representative Pocan, have been very receptive to just taking feedback and understanding our perspective. But it's the biggest message is please play the tape all the way through. Sometimes when you're looking to cut something, you see something that looks easy or you think is a simple switch, but there is a downstream effect. So it does us very little good to cut something today that's going to massively increase costs in a whole nother bucket or a whole nother sector in 6 months or a year. So just really trying to make sure that any changes, they're really walking that through, modeling it out as far as they can so they understand what that ripple effect is.
And if these cuts make it into the 2026 budget, you will have some time to plan ahead for those decreases. What would that process look like?
It would really be just looking at what kind of cuts they ultimately make. Right now, it's all speculative, so we're not 100% sure what decisions might come out in the budget. So a lot of it's going to be all, what does it ultimately impact? But likely, in any scenario, your most likely outcome is reduced access to services. And so it's going to just unfortunately result in longer waits and to get in for those services is kind of what we're anticipating at this point, but we're trying to wait until we get a clear picture of what direction the federal government needs to take.
In that moment, people may have to turn to emergency rooms, patients who lack insurance. Who pays when someone goes to the emergency room instead of community health systems when there is no insurance?
It would depend. In some cases, hospital systems do have some charity care, but ultimately it tends to be the taxpayers who are absorbing it, because those expenses are going to build up. And so it's not, again, sometimes the savings that people think it is, because no matter what, taxes are, tend to go up, and there is going to be out-of-pocket expenses that are tend to have to be absorbed by the communities.
Governor Evers has repeatedly pushed the state legislature to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin under the Affordable Care Act. How much of a difference would that make for your organization if that ultimately would go through?
Fairly significant. When we look at rates of Medicaid coverage in neighboring states that have Medicaid expansion, it's higher. It opens eligibility, and this is not a, a program that people abuse. This is not a program that people tend to take advantage of or anything like that. And so they come in for the routine care, and it just it makes, I think, if you don't have coverage, you're going to tend to put off your care until it's more critical. If you do know that you have coverage and you don't have those out-of-pocket expenses, you're likely to come in. That keeps people healthier. That keeps people working. That keeps them as contributing members to the communities. And so, anything that we can do to get folks into treatment, we absolutely want to do and support, because these are then really impactful individuals, men, women, and children, on their communities, because they are going to work. They are bringing a salary. They're paying taxes. They're doing all these things. And so, the more that folks can stay healthy, the better we are as really a community.
Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Stephen Smith is the CEO of Community Health Systems, Inc., which has clinics in Beloit and Darlington in the southern part of the state. He was with us to share the potential impact of the Trump administration's proposed cuts to Medicaid funding and what it would mean for the health care his organization provides in the southern part of the state.